Herzlich willkommen zum Epic FM Podcast. Flailing and amazing. I'm Robin. Hello from Germany.
Hello listeners, welcome to what we think is episode 18 of Epic FM. So, we sort of deleted the intro. Well, we either deleted it or didn't record it when we recorded earlier in the week. So, I'll give you a quick rundown of what happened in the first 5 minutes. Basically, we introduced Matt, who's joined the club and plays Signar. We trolled the hell out of Gav for joining MI5 or MI6 or something and doing like laundry and stuff for the Queen. Which is why we haven't recorded in so long, basically, because he hasn't been around. And that's pretty much it. So you have to make do with this and just, obviously... Yeah, I mean, it was real funny, sort of highbrow stuff that you'll really appreciate, but I'm afraid we'll just have to leave the actual content of it to our imagination and just crack on with the show. So I hope you enjoy it, and sorry we deleted it or didn't record it. Either way, it was Brett's fault, but Gav's fault we haven't recorded in so long. So thanks for listening. Cheers. So, first up, we've got tournament news.
Yeah, we've had had a bit of contact from Kev Bryant. He was just asking us just to give a little plug for his... Oh, blimey. London Masters, South East Masters. He's changed the name now. Yeah. Just reminding people about that and getting tickets.
That's, I think he likes us now, doesn't he? That's gone well, hasn't it, that?
A good bit of PR there, wasn't there?
I think he actually...
Did he
mind us now, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He mainly,
well, he liked Brett. I think he likes Brett.
He mainly spoke to me.
I think he just sort of tolerated me. But I'm happy with that. I'll pass with that. It's better than before.
People that tolerate Paul classes as BFFs.
Yeah. I follow him home. I follow him home and take pictures of him because that's what friends do.
But Kev asked us to just mention his tournament, so that's down there. That's, I believe, the second weekend of October. So the weekend after the WTC.
The giant
down at Tabletop Nation.
Tabletop Nation.
Yeah, we went there last year. Excellent event.
Yeah, really
if you can make it down there, I'd certainly encourage you to do so. And then the second bit of news, so a little more dated, but I think it's important we get this out there. This was just in relation to a charity event held up in the northeast at War Games by Snowy, the press ganger up there. And this was a charity event just in memory of Kelvin Woods, who sadly passed away, but a gamer up there. He'd been to a few tournaments and things. I'd played against him. Good guy. But that was a charity event. They raised £1,600, just over £1,600
really
with...
That's good.
Yeah, with the money from the take-ins on the door. They run a little cake and cupcake thing that you could buy. They did a little auction and raffle and everything. Yeah, so, really big shout-out to the organisers and everything up there and obviously friends and family of Kelvin. I think that was a really good response from the community in terms of that. And they picked a couple of charities that were close to Kelvin's heart, I think, and passed that money on to them. So that was nice to see that side of the War Machine community. That was really pleasing.
That's good.
So that's our news. Should we get to business?
Yeah. So first up, we've got forum musings.
And questions from the World Wide Web. Mr. Richard Dean.
Right.
He may have sent us one or two emails.
I think he sent one, didn't he?
Definitely sent more than one.
Well, no, but one chain.
Yeah. Yeah, accounting, just one.
He emailed us from one email address, so technically it's one email.
Yeah, like a lightning chain.
Yeah. Didn't change his email address. So, yeah, a while ago he sent us an email about his Signar list and wanted a bit of guidance, didn't he, for list doctor.
We don't have any decent signal players, so we couldn't reply.
No. There's drama here. Sit here, trolled.
And Phil don't care.
Well, in fact, we should wish Phil all the best at the moment.
Yeah, the high reclaimer. There was a picture on the Flail text of him. Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
With an oxygen mask on, and the first response was "F me, it's the high reclaimer." Well, made me chuckle. They were just sat there in a hospital bed with a mask on.
Oh,
no sympathy.
What's he done? Because obviously I've been out of the country, so what's happened?
I don't know. I think he's got a back injury, hasn't he, from sitting down eating pizza. I think cause he was playing League of Legends. Oh. He had it on his knee. I think the laptop got too hot and he sort of just burnt the top of his legs a bit. So I think he's had to have one of his legs.
It's pretty serious, operating. Anyway, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So our sympathies go out to Phil as well.
Yeah,
and we've got to be nice to him because we're all staying at his house this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So.
He won't listen to this in time.
It won't be edited in time.
We've got a sweepstake on how much weight he'll gain. Sat at home eating pizza. No, get well soon, Phil.
That could be a competition we open up to the listeners.
Yeah, how much weight will Phil put on?
Over how many Arnie films will he watch in that time?
Over a 6-week period.
It's not a tumour.
So he's well prepared, though, isn't he? He's got his cast on his leg.
Mm.
He's moved his computer downstairs and put it on the coffee table in the lounge, so he can see the plasma screen. He's got his computer next to him. He's moved his duvet down in his pillow, so he can just sleep down there without having to go upstairs. And just put the Domino's pizza menu by the sofa there. Mm-hmm. He's sorted.
He's got his calculator with him as well to practice his maths at the same time.
Well, he's got Liam's.
He's got Liam's.
Yeah, I know, he'll have a good time, won't he?
Anyway, back to good signal players. We were talking about Richard Dean.
We were talking about Richard.
So the nice thing about the contact from Richard Dean was we actually ended up meeting Richard over the weekend down at the Welsh Open. He was coming up and having a chat to us throughout the weekend. And I mean, we all said, if you want a definition of gentleman gamer, I mean,
he's a real gent.
He's welcome into our gentleman's club of gentleman gamers.
Even like his posture is one of a gentleman.
Yeah.
If anyone's trying to envisage him.
If there was an extraordinary league of gentlemen,
erect.
Richard Dean would be.
What? You know, like.
Upright.
Yeah.
Good posture. Yeah.
Stands to attention.
Lovely. Yeah, I played him at ETC last year. It was my first round opponent. Sorry, second round opponent after I got beat by you, Matt.
Boom.
Oh, whoa, you trolled me a second ago, and boom.
Well, it was a bye round, so I had to let you win at least one game, didn't
Were
I?
You in the same team?
Yeah.
What are you cracks doing?
We had a bye, didn't
oh,
we?
Oh, I didn't win that one, guys.
We had a bye, didn't we, so Matt needed a game thrown for him. So.
Ooh,
pretty sure you had a bye on your team.
Yeah,
pretty sure I was top player by the end of that game. Played some crank.
So I played Richard and he was a top bloke and he had some really, really wacky signal lists going on. It totally threw me. And going into the event, I was like, right, I'll be fine as long as I don't play P. Kane. And obviously, what's he got? P. Kane's there, yeah. That was a fun game.
Well, you can be rest assured that he's not playing P. Kane anymore.
He doesn't have P. Kane these days. No.
As long as he hasn't got multiple attacks going all over the place, killing loads of infantry. Obviously.
No, he's still got that. He's just not with P. Kane.
So the interesting thing about the Welsh Open was that they put up the first round draw. Perhaps a week, was it, before?
At least a week, yeah.
Before the actual event. I'm not sure what the people feel about
sure
knowing
about
your opponent and faction going into your first round.
So, you know, I feel about... I think the best thing to do with lists is for them to be submitted on the day. I really despise early list submissions.
Absolutely.
And I know that's been like an ongoing thing. Other tournaments seem to have stopped doing that, which is good. And I guess it's proving that you don't need to check, you know, multiple lists before an event, but whatever. If you are going to do that though and submit on the day, what I don't agree with is giving the matchups before, and I'm not quite sure of what the logic behind it, because like what you've done before, Gav, is you normally do for Vapor, you do the matchups a few days before so you've got them.
Yeah.
But then when people turn up and give you a list, you could just say, oh, there you go, you're playing that person on that table. I don't quite get the logic behind having it up a week early, because my issue with that is all that happens is everybody writes a list that's really good against that faction to get them off on the good. Well, not everybody does this.
Yeah, well,
not
everybody say does this, everyone, yeah.
But
like,
most
cranks and idiots do that, don't they?
Oh, here we go. A vast number of people. Hang on, let me phrase this correctly. A vast number of people will purposely write a list to play. You're an ass. I see what he's doing here.
Do you forward this
to write a list to play a faction. before it being submitted.
Well, that's, no, quite, but no, that's quite it, unsportsmanlike, isn't it?
No, it's not unsportsmanlike.
Yeah, but you would do it if it was a list, if it was a faction that you would struggle against.
Yeah, like Signar. Yeah. Like Signar,
I mean. You would skew that list, yeah, if you knew that you were playing right, that
now
faction.
Now I know which camp you're in as well.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it? No, don't troll me yet. It isn't a good idea.
Give him a chance to dig a bit deeper.
No, but isn't a good idea, is it, doing that?
No.
I would say it's not a good idea. I think do it on the day.
I agree. Yeah. I think there's the capacity to abuse that system. And that's the
people,
risk with
people
that,
do.
That in a three list environment where it's divide and conquer one, so you've only got to play that list once, and you know you're gonna play a particular faction, you could purposefully build the entire list to just play that one game, get it out of the way, and then rely upon your other two games. Yeah. Like I say, it's open to abuse and is perhaps not the most gentlemanly or sportsmanlike approach to
it. I mean, we're real gentlemen, so, you know, ethically I'd struggle.
I think I'd definitely do it. I'd be straight in there skewing. I'm an average player at best. I'd be in. Boom. Any chance to get in there, I don't care.
All right, so that's, no, but that's interesting that you'd say as perhaps a lower tier average player that you'd consider.
No, he's defined you average.
That you'd consider doing that.
Yeah,
but what you're saying is you wouldn't expect a top.
Look,
all
he's doing is he's bringing this up to give it abuse. Yeah,
you wouldn't expect a sort of a well-renewed, respectable member of the community to do
that. Oh, at least
sort of
that's
thing,
some compliment.
Respectable, but not respected.
Probably not.
No.
You should already be able to deal with everything.
You'd have thought, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Paul, who was your first round opponent?
Richard Dean.
Was it?
With Signar.
With Signar. That's interesting. And and it? So, I mean, I can already imagine that two of your lists going into the Welsh Open were probably Harbinger and Fiora 2.
They got in there just about.
And then your third list.
I'd quite like Harry Claymer. I've been playing him a lot. Real big fan of his exciting mechanic.
This is what I love about this story, though, is what casters did he have?
No, I got with, so you've been playing him a lot. What, specifically in that week building up to the Welsh Open?
Yeah, just by coincidence, and I thought I'd best check him along.
Yeah, so you played him for probably the first time when you found out you were playing Signar first round, and then played him another couple of times, did you?
Coincidentally,
in the build-up.
Coincidentally, yes.
Yeah.
You advised me to take Reclaimer.
Oh.
Do you know what I advised you? I will now clarify my advice, all right? I advised you to take a list that would ensure you didn't get locked into your third list in the final round of the tournament.
Yes, that's what we
which is typically what has happened at the past three events you've been to.
Times.
For some reason, you sit down first game and you're like, oh God, I've never played this guy before. He seems like a bit of an idiot. I'd better bring my A game. And so A caster comes out, A game comes out. You get to the final round when you're perhaps on top table, with a chance of winning the event, and then you're just like, oh, I'll play my third list that I've played three times. This won't go well.
Well, the thing about it,
we had a long discussion about the merit of building a third list that you could play in your first round.
Yeah, like Reclaimer.
And that would be a benefit to you, meaning that you then had access to your key casters later tournament.
That was the plan.
So the plan going into this game was that you play this third list first round, whatever.
Anti-Signar,
trialed and tested.
All the tech.
What casters did he have?
So then you got to the table.
Well,
you got to the table already with your High Reclaimer card in your hand. Yeah. I don't think you'd even gone through list selection process. You're like, this is who I'm playing. So, Richard, what have you got?
Well,
and what did he have?
Well, Richard, it turns out Richard's not very conventional.
He's not a man.
Despite being a gentleman, he's unconventional. And he decided to, rather than follow the usual lists I'd been building to play with my High Reclaimer list.
Because High Reclaimer's really good against E. Haley, for example.
Yeah. Well, he's stronger in the Signar.
Epic Kane, yeah. You know, all the usual big guns that the Signar players bring.
So Richard had shall I go through his list?
Yeah.
So list one.
Okay.
Nemo 1.
Okay.
Right? With a Squire, an Avenger, Thunderhead, Thorn, Sentinel, Rangers, Master Gunner, Field Mechanics, Journeyman, Stormsmith, Lunissa, I can't say her name. Lunissa, Harlan Versch and Tactical Arcanist.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I wonder what he does. Then I looked at the next list. Nemo 2, Stormwall, All Roundy, Charger, Minuteman, Harlan, Field Mechanics, two Stormsmiths, Gormandy Wolf and Silas. I thought, well, that's interesting, that's another Nemo. I wonder what that one does. And then the third one, who'd have guessed, Nemo 3.
Oh, God.
With a Stormwall, Sentinel, Max Stormlancers, Catherine Lattimore, Stormblade Captain, Journeyman, Pendrake, Reinhold, Iana and Holt, Field Mechanics. I thought that's...
Do you think just before this event, he watched Finding Nemo? It was like, yeah, no,
I love that fish.
Definitely found him.
Maybe he'd read the Nemo book.
Do you know what I think?
Inspired.
I think he thought, I'm playing Manoff first round.
Yeah, I'll take three.
I better know what that average player is going to do against me. Average he's going to try and guarantee himself a first round win and bring an anti-signalist. Let's build an anti-signalist.
Let's build three of them. Turns out they're all right against Manoff.
Yeah, but why would anybody take three Nemos?
This is Richard Dean.
What happens when someone drops hordes against him? And he's like, what do I do here? So he plays circle with Nemo. Anyone of those Nemos.
I don't know enough about the Nemos to know what his valid drops are.
Well, to me, it seems like he wants to play Manoff.
Did you do with your list pairing?
Well, I had to think long and hard about this because I was confronted with three casters I've not played. I think I might have played Nemo 2 like a year and a half ago. I'd not thought about them because they're not in our meta though, are they? In my defence, like you just don't see Nemo at many events, so I've not really had them on my radar. So I had a chat with a couple of key names beforehand about these Nemos and what I was meant to do, and I decided that the best thing for me to do, in anticipation of him dropping Nemo 3, which I was worried about with Reclaimer, was to take Harvey.
If and that, I'll be out.
So I didn't take the list I'd purposely taken to play my first game.
Okay, so you're doing well.
I took Harvey.
Do you think, at the time, do you think this might cause me a problem?
What, taking Harvey against Nemo?
No, not playing.
There was that fear, but then I thought, well, I might play another Signar player later on and.
Got to make it to the first round. I think
he's all right against some other matchups. I thought I ain't having Richard take the glory game one.
I mean, Paul's used to being in the final and coming second anyway, so.
Yeah. Whoa, there's some shit.
What?
So I have to say, as soon as I found out Paul hadn't taken High Reclaimer in his first round, I bet him £10.
I said, I hadn't even given him money.
Said £10 says that you get locked into High Reclaimer last round. He's like, no, no way, no way.
I think, like, any one of your lists would have been all right.
What, against Nemo 3?
Reclaimer's not going to do, is he?
Well, Brett, no, we talked about this. After Brett, you think I should have taken High Reclaimer.
You reckon?
You could have taken it.
I think High Reclaimer would have been the most sensible drop.
If you go back to, like, past conversations about percentage of, like, play as well, you would technically be a higher percentage just because of the amount of, like, tournaments you go to and the level that you're at. So you would already have a head start, I'd feel, against that, because you know your list really well.
I had a couple of conversations with Lewis, and he just put me off taking him. He was like, don't take him, he'll just get absolutely bombastic by him. I couldn't take Fiora Kudat, because...
You know Lewis's approach on this. Every game Lewis plays is a bad matchup. Nothing's a favourable matchup, is it?
Matt, right, go through the fear. People who want to know this, go through the fear that Nemo 3 creates in Reclaimer. He's got...
Well, his feet just gives you.
He could get four dice, and he could fire a storm pod in, and then everything shoots a storm pod. Yeah. So the storm lancers could come up and shoot the storm pod and boost three dice damage into stuff. I mean, I know it could have been mitigated by stuff being near the pod, and you know it's not, but
your clowns don't offer you the protection that they would normally give you.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got a.
But if you think about where Reclaimer will be in relation to his clouds, so his clouds typically will be 10 inches away.
Yeah.
From Reclaimer himself. The storm pod has got to be visible, so you've got to drop it on the back of one of those clouds, which still puts the storm pod then 7 inches away from Reclaimer. The lightning leaps to the nearest model.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, Reclaimer is not the nearest model.
No, it's not Reclaimer's being threatened, but the army's being threatened, whereas normally it wouldn't be.
But that army just absorbs that sort of threat. So what am I going to have that's going to get bounced into off the pod. It's going to be things like the Avengers and the Bastions. Bastions aren't particularly going to care even about boosted Electro Leaps, because that's only doing 4 points on average to them, and they can just spread that damage through the Bond of Brotherhood. The Avengers aren't particularly going to be that bothered either. You might lose a couple of those. But Reclaimer's Feat is all about attrition. The models that I lose to that, I can just bring back, and I'm back. You know, we're back to square one.
I'd say, well, I was quite impressed with those. So we did obviously play out and add Harvey. The Storm Lancers with Lattimore and the Feat are quite cool, because they're 13 basic at the normally PNS 13, and then Lattimore gives them +2. So they're jumping up to 15, I think.
Yeah, with they've the got brute charges.
Just on the gun shot.
Oh, on the shot. Oh, right.
She gives them +2, so I think they go up to PNS 15. And then with the feet, because it's lightning, it's 3 dice. Is that right? Are you looking at the thing? So PNS 15.
Yeah, the bolts are 12.
And she definitely gives +2, doesn't she?
Yeah, but they've got to be within a certain distance, isn't it, of Lattimore herself.
Yeah, so yeah. I think they have to be in line of sight.
Yeah.
Which is quite good.
Yeah.
Quite good. And good against, the Jacks and stuff. Not too bad. So, those guys coming into the clouds would have had quite a good time against Bastions and Avengers. That level of PNS. And then, sort of...
struggle to hit.
Because they'd walk into a cloud, wouldn't they?
So they're in a cloud.
I think
so
she gives... I think Lattimore gives +2 to hit as well, doesn't she? To hit, doesn't she?
Yeah, she gives them electro charge, so +2 to attack and damage rolls. But they're only rat 5 down to 3, back to 5.
Yeah.
And
if you double stack
your clouds, then your bastions would actually be def 13 as well.
Yeah.
In that situation, in the cloud based situation, your Avengers would be 14. So the likelihood of direct hits is still pretty low.
I
think it'd have probably been okay. I mean, the thing is when it came to dropping Reclaimer, how did that game go?
What, later on in the day?
Later on in the weekend. It wasn't in the day, was it? Because it was final round that you had to play Reclaimer.
Well, it turned out... what happened? Unfortunately, what happened is it was out of my hands. Every person I ended up playing just happened to be taking an army that Reclaimer, want favourable drop, so I had no choice but to get locked into Reclaimer against Ash, who had Butcher Free. And, some Butcher Free builds... Reclaimer builds are alright against Butcher Free if you've got, Orinin and stuff, but mine are rocking Paladins and didn't have that same level of shutdown that other Reclaimer lists have, so it was, party time for Ash. It was like his Christmas present from me to him. absolutely loving it. That backfired a bit. And I owe Brett a tenner.
Well, that's recorded now, so that's fine.
Yeah, I give him official. We've put it on a list. But it was nice to meet Richard. And one thing we were going to mention is that concept of not taking, going to a 3-list event and going outside the normal meta matchups, the meta casters, and taking something a little bit different, because I'd like to think that I do go to a lot of events and I know a lot about the game. But when you're confronted by 3 casters, I'd sort of know the basic principles of those 3 casters, although we were having a bit of a laugh then, I knew enough about them, especially after having a couple of conversations like you and Lewis. I knew enough about them, but there is a real strength in doing that at an event, because everybody knows what Haley does, everybody knows what Kane does, most people know what Siege does, but when you're there dropping Nemo 1, Nemo 2, Nemo 3, there's that whole level of pre-list confusion as well, so you might get your Nemos mixed up because they have a lot of things that are quite similar, don't they? Nemo 1 has the spell that shuts the Jacks down,
whereas
right?
Nemo 2 has got the gun.
And that spell's unbelievable, that is such a good arcane.
Yeah, but not against Menno, because no spells.
Normally. So you start doing no shooting.
Yeah.
And then even Nemo's got it on his gun. Is it a magical gun?
It is a magical gun, yeah.
So Nemo 2 can get around it, can't he?
Yeah, Nemo 2 gets around it, yeah. It's range 10.
But I think this quite nicely brings us into sort of the next segment that we'd like to go into, which we've called Guided Hand, but this... I suppose, an advice, a problem-solving little section. And what we'd like to talk about in this section is actually writing lists for factions that you do not play.
Yeah.
But as an experience, as a learning process. So, you know, now you've not played the Nemos, and maybe you've not got a Signar player or a Signar player that plays Nemos in your local gaming store, in your local gaming group. So one of the ways to learn about what that caster does and what they're capable of is, yeah, I can look at the Signar book and just read their card. But to understand then some of the synergies and how it works on the board and on the table, I think writing lists is a really good process to actually go into, because that way you start to look for the synergies, how to maximise the feat, what units to take, what units aren't very good.
Yeah.
And that process becomes really valuable, doesn't it, I think?
Yeah. Definitely.
So, writing lists for other factions. Do we do it? Gav, do you write lists for other factions?
I did dabble, obviously, into Cricks. I did quite a few Cricks.
And what caster did you play?
Just the ones that annoy Paul.
What a...
Yeah. But yeah,
what a secret service.
I looked at loads of different casters and things.
Right. Why are you taking my tie off me?
Because it's annoying me.
Thanks.
So I looked at loads of other casters and things. I've looked at Kador quite a bit and Circle recently for no particular reason. But yeah, I've looked at other lists. Signar's definitely not one I've looked at particularly, to be honest. But
probably should
do now that Matt's playing it.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, they've got a pro on it. Yeah.
We always said, haven't we, when there's like new guys coming to the club, we always say the first step of getting good at the game is getting to know your own faction, and obviously that's part of writing lists, isn't it? Like you get to know your faction by writing lists,
yeah.
Writing your own lists and then playing them, like that's stage one of the game. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're at the point where you know what your stuff does, you know how it interacts, and you know how to set it up, you know you turn pans out and stuff, definitely the next stage is like getting to know all the other factions. And I think a really, really good way to do that is writing a list. Or the other thing I've done is I've gone on forums and looked at people's lists, put them on War Room on my phone, iPod or whatever, and then without reading a thread, or you know, without like swatting up on it, I'll try and work out what the list's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll look at the caster and the synergies and then sort of have a bit of a browse and thinking, oh, maybe it does that, and then start reading forums to sort of see if you break it down. Because that essentially is a big skill in the game as well, isn't it, in the free list environment. Looking at seeing the caster, seeing the battle group, seeing the infantry and going, okay, that's in your head, that's the spell list, that's how it's going to interact with that model, that's going to be the strength of the scenario. I think that's a really important thing to do.
Yeah, if you can establish intent of a list,
yeah,
then that's a really quickly, good position to be in, isn't it, in terms of how you then deploy your first turn. If you immediately acknowledged, right, that unit there is going to want to hold that zone, or it's going to want to be offensive and try and, you know, get across that zone.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you can establish intent, then you know how to counter that, even if you've not played that list before or that particular build.
Yeah. What I've started doing is when I'm building a list, I kind of define what I want it to play, and then I'll go on YouTube and have a look at that particular caster book played by three different people, so I can see the different builds and see kind of what they're doing with it. So you can catch all the little janky things where someone like runs up the table and blows your face off halfway through. You know, you can see that firsthand instead of just trying to build it yourself, because you might not know the faction well enough, and then you'd build something rubbish. Like if you started a faction, you'd build something rubbish, play it the first time, get smashed, and then somebody that knows that faction would be like, oh, I'll change this, and this. By watching something on YouTube is what helps me, so I can see threat ranges.
Or even in flesh, even like just watching someone at the club or something, or like at a tournament. Like you went down to a few tournaments, didn't you, when you first got into the game, just trying to look and stuff. You know, that's a really, really, really good idea.
I think with certain factions as well, that engaging in that process is more or less valuable. And so I think about trolls and all the interactions in terms of the troop buffing effects that trolls have.
Mm.
Through a range of different models, whether it's the caster doing it, whether it's people like the Fellcaller, the Chronicler, you know, there's so many different models in the army that are able to buff either directly or indirectly to get a full comprehension for how all those things could interact.
Yeah.
Is a real challenge, but that comes across in the list building, because what you start to find is that, right, if you know, I put the Creel Stone in, and then I put a Fellcaller in, and a Chronicler, and I'm like, right, I've got some really great defense now. I've got, you know, concealment on my models as they're running up. I've got +2 armor on my models as they're running up. I'm going to have +2 to hit when they get there. I've got a Pyre Troll in to give me +2 strength. But all of a sudden, you run out of points to actually build your list.
Yeah, because you've got all that support.
Yeah, and then you hit that problem that troll players invariably do hit. They're like, okay, well, what I need to do is trim some support to get some more business in. And the, working through the balancing act as well as a non-faction player becomes really, really valuable, because you're trying to then establish the really key elements of the list, not just... Yeah. You know, all the bells and whistles, but just, you know, what do I need to get it to work how I want it to work? And so that becomes particularly valuable.
It's something like I really struggle with, though, and like I think we're quite different on this, Brett, because you can like look at a list whether you're writing it or analysing it, and you can work it in your head, like how that list will play out and pan out. But I don't learn very well at it. Like, I learn much better by literally seeing something in front of me, even if, you know what I mean, like seeing a deployment, or like you're saying, watching YouTube. That's like how I learn. I really struggle to like picture it in my head.
See, what I found really beneficial is, you know, on the flail text, obviously some people say I'm building a list to do this, for instance, and obviously it sort of gets offered out to the floor, and then everyone starts to look into, for instance, circle.
Yeah.
And then starting to try and build different combos of that. And everyone is looking at it, and then you're obviously, oh yeah, I didn't think of that. And then you look at yourself, maybe add something to it, take away from it. So obviously everybody's benefiting from as a whole,
so if I put a list up saying, right, what do you reckon for this as a anti whatever lift, you can look at it from like a SCORM perspective or something. If you've got a good range of like a good diverse range of factions in that text or that forum or whatever, it's good. Because sometimes I think the problem with the PP, not that I don't personally the PP forums, but I think one of the issues with it, when you say you went on the SCORM community, you'd be posting your list, I mean, you've got a lot of SCORM players in there, which is really good. But what you've not got a lot of is Signa, Circle, Menoff players who are going to look at it and go, you're kind of missing something here. And I know people, you know, there's obviously people that SCORM players that will play other factions or play a lot of other factions and lawful advice, but nothing beats going to a, you know, if you wanted an anti-Menoff SCORM lift, nothing beats talking to a Menoff player to say, well, I've been, it's a way of
bringing it. Yeah, what do you struggle with? Yeah.
And sometimes, though, that's the benefit of writing the list for the other faction.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, let me work out what that list does, but then let me try and work out the weaknesses of it. But then when I go back to my faction, I try and then put those weaknesses that have been identified into my list.
So everybody benefits from it,
yeah?
So it's like a community thing. Oh, that's nice.
We're all about the fluff, hey? Community building. Nick got me with a good one the other day, didn't he, that I didn't see, despite looking at his list and thinking, oh, I kind of know how this works. Which Irus did he have? Can you remember off the top of your head?
Irus 2.
And it was Nick Langrick from Hull. We were playing quite a bit. He's a proper sound lad and really handy with his Kador. Doing, like, it was probably about fourth turn. I was doing all right. I was, like, probably up on attrition. And Irus has got it looks like Brett's just flicking for the name of it, but it's a spell that gives it boosted to hit and boosted damage on a single model, and it normally goes on the mortar, doesn't it? So it gives them, is it fire support?
Fire for effect,
that's
boosted
it.
Attack and damage rolls of target friendly faction models first range attack.
So I looked at his list, I was aware of that spell, I know what Irus does, I played Irus enough to like have a really good grasp of what it does, so I sort of, like I said, up on attrition, Fuhrer sit sort of behind to the side of Adjudicator. There's a couple of, the Nis were about in range of her. I was thinking she was fairly safe from the Nis and everything else. So I don't need to describe the rest of the game, but it was pretty favourable to me. Nick started being really, really careful about his Irusk movement, like super careful. I'm thinking, what the hell's happening here? Like something really important is happening here, but he didn't let on. And he basically walked Irusk up and put that spell. I've just forgotten the name of it already. Fire for effect. Was that it? Put fire for effect on a single Nis. It's just on one Nis. Single Nis up and use that as the primary attacker in a combined range. So a full unit of Nis shot Fuhrer with that one model with the extra die being the primary attacker, and he rolled like perfect amount to just one shot her. It's like boom, one shot. I was like, wow, good game. Like, cheers Nick. But so sometimes when you see a list and you know the caster and you're kind of familiar with it, it is about like, it's like for me, I'd have to see that. I'd have to literally have to see it to catch it out.
But that's one of the benefits of building lists yourself, isn't it?
If
you're looking at a cast and you're like, right, I'd like to try and see how I build this list as an assassination list.
Yeah, what would I want?
How can I do it? And what can I do about it?
Because a
mortar's more an attrition piece, isn't it?
Yeah.
In that list, fire for effect on the mortar's an attrition piece, but being able to put it on an offensive infantry model like that, it but becomes an assassination.
Nissa's friendly faction ally, but he had the Valachev. He had Valachev, yeah. Sorry, just to add that, because that's important, isn't it? People yes. wanted, if people want to do that, put Valachev in your list before you're like, oh no, it's not friendly faction. Yeah, he needs a Mechan friendly faction. I think it's a really valuable thing to do, and I think it's smart. And I think War Room, now it's been updated, presents a good opportunity for people to do that if you're willing to put your hand in your pocket and pay the full price for the full deck.
Yeah.
It's not a bad shout, whereas before iBodger and stuff were a bit, I know there's the dodgy PDFs that go around a bit, but they're out of date now.
Say again? Works well with his feet as well, because he can ignore cloud effects and forests with his feet, so it basically it's unblockable.
Now, there's another caster you don't want to be playing Reclaimer against.
Oh, I think I played him at the weekend. I think that's really viable.
I think that's probably, you know, even if you haven't got the money to invest in the full deck on War Room, if there's a particular faction that you're really having problems with or something, you know, just look into buying that deck.
Yeah, it's not as if anyone would buy all of the decks.
No.
Who would do that?
Yeah, that would be silly.
You haven't got Convergence, have you?
I haven't got Convergence.
No one plays them, that's why.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got them all.
I've got
them
all, yeah.
How much was it? 20 quid?
No, did you get Press Ganger discount though?
No.
Silly. About £4.50 each on Android.
Just have a look in the shop in a second, I'll tell you.
Did you not just manage to infiltrate Privateer Press?
Oh yeah, break into their hub and then hack the database.
Just a little warm-up mission
just
prior
to
going out to Afghan.
Mates to
because obviously I'm super technical.
Well, that's you've got just some of the other boys to do that, haven't you? If you're just going in as the specialist, you'll have an IT geek just in the blacked out van outside.
This is how IT geeky is. I can't even get into it, so there you go.
So how many factions have you got on your how many factions have you built this for off the top of your head, quick
top of my head? 1, 2, 3
Brilliant. Oh. Brilliant top of your head, Gav, the fact that you're having to count on your fingers. Paul, how many factions have you built this for?
Maybe 3, 4.
Rubbish.
I'd say 2.
Two.
Is that Trolls?
Don't ask
Trolls.
No one asked Brett. Right, anyway. Next agenda item. What are we going on to next, Brett?
Look, he really wants someone to ask him.
He wants someone to say, what faction haven't you actually played?
He's come across this table.
It's like a different question. What faction haven't you built on this for?
Well.
There we go, there's the answer.
Convergence. Well, no, I've written a convergence list.
He still uses iBodger though. Like, really? Your lists are hilarious. When you send someone a list, it's like none of the right things.
Yeah.
It's just like, they're just like spamming, like, what's this? It's
got, I think you'll find they're just encoded. Once I found Gav was going undercover, here we go.
Yeah, it's just best put manticles and phoenixes and things.
Gav won't be able to work out what any of my lists
the,
are.
The funny thing about your version of iBodger, though, is it's like the original one anyway, so it's never been updated. So it's like the oldest of all. It's like the original iBodger. It's like vintage technology. But only you know the codes for what you replace stuff with. So you send someone a list and they're like, this is garbage. What are you doing here? You've got like 7 warwolves. What do you think? No.
Not
werewolves. They're not werewolves. No.
Exactly.
That's like a rothorn. All right, okay.
Like, I mean, the little croak hunters keep making it into my list with war spears at the moment. And people, what's the interaction with these croak hunters and war spears? And I'm like, oh,
no, give
them prey.
Funny.
So, how many lists do you currently have on iBodger in total?
I couldn't add them all.
You couldn't add them all.
There's. Go on, pick a faction and I'll tell you how many lists I've got that I don't play.
Oof, minions.
0. Hey! No one cares.
Mercenaries.
Result.
Mercenaries, I've got 3, I think.
Scorn.
I've got a Fiona, Bart, Damiano, and a McBain list.
Damiano.
I reckon 3 out of the 4 of them are good as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'd play them.
Well.
Yeah, that's
playing mercs.
They're a bit complicated. Mercs is another faction that it's actually really good to try and write lists for.
Yeah.
To try and just fathom
definitely
what in the world's happening with all
them
pirates
and
all them
contracts
solos. And, yeah, but that's why it's, again, to as a as a process, as a learning process, yeah, to go through.
No, it's a really important,
very, really good one to try and get your head around.
Because, and I find as well, one machine horns factions that take Merc solos are always in there to give that list a skew against particular stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, a really obvious one is Iron and Holt. Really obvious. If you're a Menoth player, spotting the Iron and Holt can always give a clue as to if that's their Menoth drop for the magical shot. Or Signar players, or like, if you know, like Anti-Colossalists will often rock Gorman,
yeah,
you know, or you know, there's, if you know the Mercs, you can kind of try and unpick what people's logic is in a list. There's not worse than looking at a list and going, why is that Merc in there? Like Ash was telling me about taking the guy that gives Mercs an extra 4 range, I think it's Doodle,
yeah,
Master Gunner, taking him with Iris. So if you see him and Iris in a list, it's basically to give Iris the super long shot.
Range 14 crossbow, yeah.
Yeah, to sort of knock off focus. So that's quite good. Because we were talking about P. Krios lists, and we were saying that's quite a cool interaction, having Iris and Doodle Boy, so that Krios can go up, knock stuff down, and then Iris has got a super long range shot to knock the focus off for the rest of your army to then pummel the caster. That was quite cool. Quite nice. Because she can stay really far back then, can't she? She can be real safe before she comes in and starts blaming stuff. That was quite cool. Cool idea.
So, yeah. Next segment, then. Shall we go on to the Welsh Open that we were at recently? And I suppose we'll start by just congratulating Martin again on an excellent event.
Yeah, really good. It's got a right name for itself now, isn't it, the Welsh? It's like a big... Big event on the calendar. I think that sells out so fast, that event.
It went above 64 players, didn't they, this time round?
Yeah.
Although unusually stuck with 6 rounds, although it worked out.
It worked out,
fortunately,
okay.
But
could have gone the
other way. It could have gone the other way and been a bit of a disaster if they'd had 2 winners.
Yeah.
Rather than just an out and out winner.
Mm.
But yeah, as an event, just seems to go from strength to strength. Constantly have really strong prize support for the event. There's a couple of comedy prizes thrown in there.
Yeah. Prizes every round as well. Like, they were giving loads of stuff away. Loads of armies were being given away every round. There was a random raffle that everybody was entered into. Spot prizes and stuff like that. It's a dead good effort.
But yeah, I think, you know, congratulations to Martin and the guys that helped him out there. And Firestorm itself and Rob for hosting it. You know, it's a really strong event throughout. And I think we'll just provide a bit of an overview. So our most successful player for the weekend was Adam. Well, he certainly came,
he came
away with the most prizes.
He came away with the most stuff.
I'm not saying he was the most successful in terms of games won, but...
If he finished lower than anybody else, but had the most stuff. It was like he'd had a little birthday surprise there. He got absolutely tons.
So he won himself one of the spot prizes, which was a Legion... sort of starter army, I guess it was 20 odd points, 25 points, something like that. I cast a couple of war beasts unit and stuff like that. But then, just to prove that we are all about the hobby, which is just as well, because we're not very good at playing anymore based upon the joking.
Whoa there.
He managed to pick up Best Painted.
Yeah, he did.
For his Circle Army.
It is beautiful though.
Looks really good.
It's really eye-catching, isn't it?
We should get some pictures of it on the thread when I put this up.
I think it's one of those armies that as people walk past, they stop because of the little conversions he's done to the models and the poses of the models. And often, once people have stopped, then they acknowledge that it's also well-painted.
Yeah. That's a good hobby tip, that, you know, because we're about the hobby and painting and that sort of thing. If you put in time and effort into your painting... give it an eye-catching, give it something eye-catching.
But in a good way.
Like a basin, like a really funky basin or something.
Not eye-catching like yours, like it's not painted.
Yeah, the base is the way forward though, isn't it? I think if you do a nice base...
What are you on about?
Your army.
What about it?
Not being painted.
It's majority painted now.
Is it?
No.
No, it's not, is it?
It's getting there.
It's getting there.
I've got Adjudicator painted, haven't
I? I am.
What?
Commission painted.
Well, base coated anyway.
Commission base. Yeah, no, he did well, didn't he? Yeah, he did good to get that. Although you nearly got it because you were using the army.
So he got a KR case, I think, didn't he?
Yeah.
For winning Best Painted and a ticket back to next year's Welsh Open.
Oh, that's good.
So yeah, he did really well. He was really pleased with picking up all those bits and bobs. So yeah, that was some good prize support. And I think we won two other prizes as well as a team.
I didn't get anything.
Well, I know you didn't get anything, but I think Mark won something.
They won stuff in, and Liam won something in raffle. Oh, Liam did quite well.
Well, in fact, he started turning down prizes, didn't he? He'd won that many.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he come second?
Yeah, he came second.
That's quite well.
Liam came second.
Well, okay, so, yeah. So Liam's still all right.
we'll brush over that, though, because Liam doesn't like the attention, does he?
No, he's always saying...
It wasn't his game anyway, but we'll come to that in a second.
Well, and out of all of us, I mean, he's definitely about the hobby.
Oh,
you just have to look at his models.
I've never met. Holy, have I ranted on the podcast about what he did to my circle?
I don't know, but do it anyway.
Right, I lent him my circle, swapped for his trolls for a bit of a break after WTC. He literally has deconstructed them. Like, I've got them down there in that box. My Farn Wolf Riders, which were all painted and assembled, are now unassembled and chipped. Like, I have no idea. If you want to break an army down, maybe to, I don't know, rechange the poses or to paint it again, just give it to Liam for a few months. He'll do it for you.
Because your circle's not tough like his trolls.
Yeah. Absolutely battered. Can't believe it.
But the ironic thing is you were busy repairing his models to play with them.
Yeah, I got
you
his trolls.
You were gluing weapons back on and things.
I texted him and glued all your trolls back together, mate. You know, like, helping you out. Oh, cheers for that, Paul. And then I get this rattling box. I'll use his circle back. Oh, well, you've taken them apart. Thanks.
What does it do with it? Is it just clumsy?
I don't know.
Oh, no, you're the clumsy one.
Oh, I still put stuff back together after I snap it.
He opened his case and it literally looked like someone had got...
Like a Bits box.
Four units of Nis Hunters and just thrown the models unbuilt into a box.
It's just a Bits box. Yeah, I've got a circle Bits box if anyone wants to buy it. You know. Everything's in there. Yeah, but Liam did all right, didn't he?
So yeah, Liam won some legitimate prizes. Adam won some legitimate prizes. And then Mark got a wooden spoon for being worst in Legion.
Holy, I genuinely can't believe that happened to Mark. He got some stick.
I bet he did.
Like, he got some right stick picking that award up. People were going wild. It was like whooping and all sorts.
Have you heard, though, Kings of North have approached him to see whether he wants to join their
club?
They're
not called Kings of North.
They're not?
No, they're UKIP.
No.
Oh, they've changed the name. They've changed the name and brought a podcast out.
What, called UKIP?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an acronym. It stands for something. No, they have. Jamie's got a new. They've brought a podcast out. So if anybody wants to listen to a new English podcast, then Jamie's Perkins has brought one out. It's mainly political, though. It does focus quite heavily on immigration.
Yeah, they've got Nigel Farage on the latest one.
Yeah. It's very, very political. But, you know, if you're wanting a bit of a break from War Machine and Odds, I think that'd be quite a good listen.
Good challenge.
He knows he's on there. He's like Jeremy Paxman. Real strong interviewer.
Paxman.
Yeah, it's good. Good. Yeah. Anyway.
So, Mark's leaving.
Mark's leaving to join.
Well, basically, he's got this weekend, otherwise that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's out, is he?
He's been warned.
Well,
why I don't play.
He just hide the fact.
I just don't bother turning up this season.
No. Who else did terrible?
Tom won a prize.
Tom got a prize. What did Tom
best
get?
Hair or something.
No, Tom also got wooden spoon.
Yeah, Tom got worst in factions. So Mark and Tom got worst in factions.
They're doing well, yeah. That's good.
Jesus.
Oh, flying the flag, yeah.
How bad's that? It's not really. I mean, they both did well.
And somehow Adam didn't get worst in faction.
Well, that's not like him.
Oh, my God, I'm just like telling him so bad. I think Mark and Tom are going to bounce back from this.
Yeah, they're going to get replaced by the Signal. They're a good circle player.
I think they're going to bounce back real strong.
You reckon? What about Phil? Any help for him?
Real reclaimer. He's man down. He can't get off his sofa. We're in tatters. We're on the ropes. No, but Liam did well, didn't he?
There's a bit of pressure on, actually, if you think about it, because we're going to the expo, and we've got Tom and Mark and Phil playing, and then we've got Circle Jim coming down, we've got Signar Matt coming down. We've only got enough shirts to go around to a certain number of people.
I know, we're going to have to start doing performance based sort of inclusion, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm a medium.
Is that performance or shirt?
No. It won't be worst. Well, I've said that. Now,
so
curse myself.
Excellent. So, have you guys got any highlights at all from the day?
Oh, well, go through the breakdown.
Paul and I won something. Breakdown. So we've talked about what everyone else won. Paul and I won a small based proxy.
Yeah, we won a small based a small based proxy.
Wow,
that's pretty handy, isn't it?
But you've got all the square really bases in your circle box, haven't you?
I've got everything. I've got about 18.
In fact, I used that proxy.
It's really useful. Yeah. It's really good. Should we have a quick rundown of the meta, what people took?
So the breakdown, I'll just sort of do the highlights, I guess. The most popular War Machine faction was Menoth, followed by Crix and Signar equal second. And the most popular Hordes faction were Circle, followed by Legion, and then Scorn and Trolls tied as well.
But like Menoth is really surprising, isn't it? Because the last few events have been really underrepresented.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
In fact, the event before the Welsh,
the second lowest War Machine faction.
They've been really low, and then they've spiked.
Yeah.
Circle are getting a lot of releases at the moment, aren't they? Doing quite well, so that's not really surprising. Legion are always high. Not really surprising. Trolls have crept up a little bit, haven't they? Because of the sort of meta shifts and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom end is Convergence and Minions, both with just two people representing them. A fairly decent spread. I think I did the maths, and it was still a fairly close split between War Machine and Hordes as a split. Again, it was a sort of a 55-45 favouring War Machine in terms of factions.
No Butcher 3 bandwagoners?
Yeah, all four of them.
Wow.
I certainly saw Butcher 3.
Yeah, it was about
two of the Kador players I saw playing. I both got Butcher 3. So, but I think the Welsh always gives a slightly skewed view, I think, on the national meta in terms of what people are playing and what's the most popular faction. And certainly that wasn't the representation at SmogCon, was it? From looking around what people were playing there at SmogCon. We've got the expo coming up shortly, and so we'll try and get a breakdown from the expo as well to see what people are playing, and that perhaps give us a slightly better picture as to where we are. But no major surprises, I don't think, really. It was still sort of the usual factions up near the top, wasn't it? So we had Signar, Trolls, Legion, Menoth, top four.
Who got third nerf? So Lewis Johnson won the event with Signar.
Congratulations.
Congrats, Lewis. Again, our fellow WTCer. Then Liam got second with Trolls.
Oh, in fact, Crix.
And third was Matt Townsend, another WTCer, with Crix.
And then was it Menoth?
And then was Adam Bell with Menoth, and then I'm not sure who came fifth. But that was the top four at least.
So yeah, again, we're still seeing the sort of usual spread of factions towards the top. Well, I say factions, the usual spread of players towards the top.
Not to divert too much from this, and I haven't pre-warned, this might come out of a bit left field, but I read on a PP forum, which was probably my first mistake.
What, really?
That people were saying that the reason Signar are doing so well at events is because the current meta is unable to deal with their particular range of casters, i.e. Alien Kane. How strong a statement do you think that is? I mean, Signar are doing quite well here, championed by Lewis, aren't they? But I think outside of Lewis, they still do okay. Mm. But do you think that's due to the strength of where they're sat at the moment, or just...
Just they've the been people around that for a long them. Time. Sure, there's no release.
I think the point they're making the forum was they're really strong now. So Haley and Kane are really strong in the current meta. They can deal with everything that's coming their way. They're presenting lots of problems. There's not really, in fact,
my suspicion is that Signar are benefiting a little like Menoth benefited last year. Is that people aren't perceiving them as the main threat to winning the event, and therefore are not building against them per se.
Mm.
You know, if you ask people to name the three most powerful factions currently, Signar are not in the top, you know, in that three, that perception of the three. You know, people are currently building lists to crack armor to deal with
Morvana Butcher,
Vale
still, Trolls coming through and stuff like that. Yeah.
And so that's not their most pressing concern. So Signar have dropped off that radar a little bit, but are still just as strong and powerful as they were last year. It's just that perhaps last year people were taking a little bit more tech against Signar.
Yeah, maybe.
And like I said, Menoth have benefited from that, I think, for the past 12, 18 months, that people don't necessarily build specifically to play Menoth. Yeah, because there's bigger problems. You know, Christ, how do I deal with 30 Weapon Masters? How do I deal with six Heavy War Beasts? You know, and Menoth just sneaks under, but are still a really strong faction, and so will always perform really well. And Signar, I think, are benefiting from that. People are more concerned about beating other things, and consequently haven't got a list specifically designed to answer or to play Signar.
Plus, Hayley and Kane are just really strong anyway. Yeah, of course. You know, like, inherently super powerful casters and have game-changing feats, which just sort of helps compound that a bit, doesn't it? Yeah, sorry, I know it was a bit
no, sad, no, but... I think it...
Yeah, but don't build against Signar, you know. Don't want to be endorsing that.
Well, no matter, we don't need to, do we?
Yeah, just stay against that.
Drone. Should we go through who we played and stuff? Do you remember your game? So I mentioned I played Richard Dean first. I sort of mentioned that I took Harvey, and you were trolling me about not taking Reclaimer. Like, I shouldn't have taken Harvey. That was a terrible idea. Like, I was getting absolutely battered in this game. You walked past, didn't you? With probably, I don't know how long into the game you were.
I think you were both high 20s. So 20 minutes left on the high, 20 minutes left on the clock. So you'd only played just over half an hour each.
Yeah, and it were rough on my end.
And you looked like you were down on attrition.
He killed a Reckoner with Storm Lancers under his feet. He just like went... Nice. And I was like, right, okay, that's my Reckoner. I enlivened it into him, but he just let me have a free strike so it could shoot it some more. Dropped a Reckoner and I started to lose the attrition and stuff. But when you're losing, whenever I'm losing, there's always the clock to play. So Brett, you walked past, didn't you, when we're sort of midway through the game and thought, yeah, Paul's
losing. You're ruining the gentleman gamer's ethos here, aren't you?
What are you talking about? This is a gentleman thing to do.
What, death clock?
Yeah. So yeah, it was play, his turns were a lot slower than mine, so I just won on death clock.
That's terrible.
Just kept like putting stuff in zone and letting him play with it, and then
I watched Adam's game in the same round, so I finished my first round relatively quickly. So I was watching Adam because I think Adam and Paul were playing perhaps back to back or very close.
Yeah, right, next to each other.
Adam was playing Signar against Mercs. Adam had still got Stormwall left. He'd got his Hunter Gun Majors. I'd given him a quick control point to give me a quick 3-0. I thought, bloody heck, he's doing well here. Hardly anything left. Then I looked at the clock. Adam's got 3 minutes left. the Merc player's got about 20 minutes left. And I'm like,
lost. Here's like a top tip, right? Here, top tip. If you're playing Death Clock and you're winning a game, like, force the scenario. So many players don't do it. So Richard, and we had a long chat with Richard after the game. If you get death clocked, like if someone does what I did to Richard, it's basically because you're not playing the scenario. You're sort of just focusing on attrition or keep looking for like bad assassinations. Just push the scenario, because I think if it's happening to me and I recognise and I think, okay, this, and I think the realm where I think I can start to death clock someone is about like 8 minutes ish. You know, if I'm like 8 minutes ahead of someone, I think, well, that's enough time for me to manipulate it by having like super quick turns and like pushing them down, but just start pushing the scenario really, 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 really hard. Because I think once you go a couple up, then it's really hard to death clock someone.
I think that applies to Adam, and I spoke to him after the game. He was 3 up, and I watched him go 4 up. And in the turn he went 4 up, he could have gone 5 up by dominating. You know, and just that acknowledgement, like you said, of, you know, I'm that far ahead in attrition that basically I could just put whatever I want in this zone. You know, I'm not going to lose. There's nothing that can kill Stormwall. You can't kill my caster. Let's put everything in the zone, and then whatever you put in to stop me scoring this turn, I just need to activate a couple of things, clear the zone, flick the time. Your turn again, put as much stuff into the zone as you can. And to be honest, when you've got Gun Majors and Stormwall left, and you've got a caster with Telekinesis, and you're playing in a little letterbox in the centre of the board, clearing that zone so easy. You've got an electropod hit high defense stuff. You've got telekinesis and just knock something out. You've got dead-eyed Gun Majors with thunderbolt shots. You know, just jam stuff in there and like you say, go for scenario, push scenario aggressively. Really, yeah, absolutely. So then you're round two.
So round two, I played Toby Jennings. We're going to talk about what he took.
Okay.
Later on in the.
Well, you could say he had trolls, didn't he?
He took trolls. He played Gristle with lots of infantry, and I took Habby, which it was a good game, but I'm pretty confident with Habby against that and won on scenario. And then I played you. In the VIP camera room that we got scurried off. It got announced that I was playing Brett, and then 5 minutes later, they're like, "You're in here, we're going to film you." Like, oh, okay, crikey. So we got dragged off. It was quite a weird experience, that, wasn't it? Because we obviously play each other like a couple of times a week. And then we were in like this weird box with like Jimmy reffing, like right at the edge of the table, and then a window. People kept like looking in on this window. It was a bit weird. And then Jimmy weren't ready to do anything though, did he? Like, we play each other that much. It was a pretty...
Well, I think technically Jimmy is there to oversee the game and to make sure that game is a good, clean game and do all the refereeing and umpiring in that game. And from speaking to Jimmy throughout the weekend, he was saying that there was an awful lot of the games in there that he was having to play an active role in. Yeah. I think there was one thing all game where Jimmy...
He asked him to measure something.
He jumped up that enthusiastic that he'd actually got a chance to do something. I've got a measuring tool for that. And he was straight
crack
in there.
Crack on, Jimmy.
But yeah, I think we'll talk about that game a little bit more in a second. You just want to finish your rounds?
Yeah, so then I played Adam Bell with Free Krios. Like, he wrote this game up actually on the Menoff forums. Like, he played the scenario really well. I had Fuhrer and he had three Krios, and it was close quarters. And he just put his jacks in front of his flag and just died scoring. And there was like a wall that my adjudicator couldn't get over. So I won't go into it. Like, his battle report's quite good on the PP forums, on the Menoff forums. But I'd really struggled with this wall to get the adjudicator over. And there were two like massively key things. I had a Reckoner with Ignite going on Fire Salvation for a charge. I think if I'd have dropped the Fire Salvation, like, it'd have been a really fair trade. I'd have still been contested his zone for another turn, I think, and been in a much, much stronger position. But it didn't. Like, Reckoner went in with Ignite on Fire Salvation and left it with everything. It was like the lot, and that like killed the Reckoner the next turn. And then he had the Avatar, Ignited Avatar, won round the Judicator, which stung a bit as well. But he played the scenario really well. He just sort of set everything in that. So Adam Bell ended me run. And then I played the next day I played Elliot with Mavana, which was good.
Epic
Mavana. Like, this was a really good game as well, because one thing we talked a lot about, like with another couple of lads that play Menoff, like Chris Rains and Dan Cunningham, is about the Harby Mavana matchup. And I know Dan started. Dan has a lot of success in his meta with Tekken Reclaimer against Mavana, but I've been sticking with Harby and trying a few things out. So this was a really good game to try that matchup with. I think Elliot pre-game said, you know, he still thinks Harby has a good chance in this matchup, but with a slight favour towards Mavana. Whereas I'm quite comfortable playing Mavana with Harby. And I don't mind talking about it because the list is out there. I mean, the list is going to be on the
well, we're going to talk about in our game, aren't we?
Yeah, so. But I think the addition of my Harby list as a redeemer, which I think really swings that Mavana Harby matchup for the ability to, you know, have your ignore stealth and shoot the trees and the stones and stuff is really powerful, like, really good. So that was a good game. I won that one against Elliot. And then, as we mentioned before, that unfortunately resulted in me being locked into Reclaimer. And of all the people to play, I got Ash Mitchell, who like found us in a car park and was like, "Come on, son, I'm playing you at a table." Oh, Christ. And then I thought, well, I won't tell him straight away that I'm locked into Reclaimer, because I didn't want him to be too happy. So he sat down, I got the stuff out, and he was like, "Right, let's see your list." And I was just like, I'm locked in. And then you should have seen his face. He was like a child. He's like, "Ah, you're locked into Reclaimer." So yeah, like I said before, my Reclaimer list isn't really geared towards playing Butcher, which I think was a mistake actually in hindsight. Like, I probably should have broadened the matchup, but that was what you guys were trolling me about earlier on. I had this as the anti-Signar, you know, I just thought about Signar and nothing else. I didn't really think about the broader matchup. Took it against Butcher and it just went bad. It just didn't go very well. Reclaimer was just sort of hiding from Butcher because the threat of him, it was a pretty disastrous game. But that meant I went 4-2, which I was happy about 4-2 because I'd locked myself in. Like, I knew that was always going to be, that last game was always going to go bad. My frustration though is, I think if I'd have taken Reclaimer that first game and got him out of the way and won that one, then I think, okay, so the loss against Adam, you know, I think, you know, that I'm sort of fine with that one. I know where that went wrong, but I think I would have given Ash a really good game with Harvey or Führer against his Kedar. And if I'd have won that last game, I'd have come second because my strength of schedule was better than Liam. So locking myself in lost me the chance of coming second, which was really frustrating. But yeah, that's what happens when you lock yourself in.
You're going to learn for next time, yeah?
Again?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that's like 3 times I've done that now in 12 months.
So my first round, I played Dom Leedham with his Signar, and he had Epic Kane, a slightly different build. He'd still got the Boom Howlers, a single Jack, although it was Gallant, which I suppose is viable. Shield Guard still, and Spell Warder, I think. So I can considering the builds orientated towards Veil somewhat, I can see that fulfills a purpose. He'd still got Boom Howlers in there. There was a few other bits and bobs of support, and then the other more unusual thing was that he'd got the Steelhead Halberdiers and the Steelhead Cavalry in the list as well. So that was quite interesting, a slightly different take on the list.
Twist, yeah.
So I won that one. My second round, I played our Tom Fretwell. So it was, I started his losing streak that then he didn't get out of, I don't think. And Tom took a P Boulder list, which is something Tom's been tinkering around with for a little while, trying to build something to encircle to actually address the armour issue that Circle are perceived to have. And he'd got Blood Trackers in the list, he'd got 2 units of the Slaughterhouses, the minion unit for the pseudo weapon master against models or units that have taken the damage. He'd got just a Stalker, Winter Argus, and a Gorax as his battle group. So it was quite an interesting game. We had a really good game, actually. Tom went up 3-4-0 maybe on scenario, but in doing so was losing more and more in terms of overall attrition. My third game was against Paul, which we'll go into a little bit more detail in a second. I then played Aaron Bowen, who was the Welsh WTC captain in the fourth game. He dropped Terminus against me, which was a fairly standard Terminus list, aside from the fact that he'd got the Ghost Pirates in there.
Did he play like a fairly standard Simpleton Terminus player? A.K.A. run at your caster, charge your caster, run at your caster, or charge your caster?
Well, this is the Welsh WTC captain we're talking about. Oh, okay. So
no, in that case, he probably played it quite smartly, didn't he? Probably
he played it quite smart.
Bit of a different twist on it, probably.
Didn't run at my caster until turn three.
Oh!
Oh!
Innovator.
So that was the final game on the first day, and then the second day I got to play Paul Mansfield with his Menoth, and he dropped Harbinger, which was the same build that you play with Paul, aside from the 10 points invested in Redeemer and Roven. He'd got Forge Guard and the Hierophant,
the attendant priest.
Which is nice. Allows martyrdom, makes the unit immune to spells.
Quite good at Crusader's Call as well.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some nice synergy there in terms of that. And my final round was against Moke, so another fellow WTC player. He dropped a Peace Guard list that he's been working on that just sort of stacks armour to the extreme, but with a number of quite a large number of points invested in Warjacks in the list, so it's something slightly different to the usual Crix builds. That was a good game. The Moke managed to win on scenario in the end. Attrition wise we were probably fairly even by the time he won, but he went ahead very early, me losing a heavy, but so I went 4-2 as well, with my two losses being against fellow WTC team members. So again, I suppose dissatisfied with a 4-2, but satisfied that the losses were
against amazing.
Yeah, if you're gonna have a good loss, I suppose they're good losses.
Played
yeah.
that faction all the time and not yeah. changed mid season.
our game then, so
a little bit more detail on our
hobby,
game.
Yeah,
do you want to do a quick? Your list quickly?
Yeah.
So quickly?
Yeah. I know it off the top of my head, I think. I don't need that thing to... But if people want to... Well, yeah, people check this game out. like have a look at it. Hobby Geek Owen.
Yeah.
He's going to put it up. That's his Twitter handle, Hobby Geek Owen. I'll put it on the thread when I post this up. So wherever you found this, check the Muse on Minis thread. I'll also put it on our Twitter page as well. So this will be findable. But yeah, have a watch of the game. I think it's quite a good game. So watch one. It was enjoyable. So I took Harby. My Harby list is well known. Like it's about. It's no secret. And it's used by a lot of people. Harby, Hierophant, Devout, Reckoner, Redeemer, Avatar, Covenant, Vassal, Rack, Rupert, Choir, Max Aronson UA, and Roven.
And my Epic Kruger list was a battle group of Gorax with Double Stalker. I've then got Wrong Eye and Snapdraw in there. Unit Druids with UA, Gallows Grove, Fullness Hunters, and Victor Pendrake. And I suppose, as a preamble, we should say that Harbinger's probably your most played caster ever.
Yeah.
And
easy.
And Kruger's my third list that I'd cobbled together because I needed three lists.
Don't be making excuses now. Listen to this. No, it was a good.
True though.
It was a good scrap though. It was good, and I think maybe we shouldn't go into it too much detail. I think we should just encourage people to watch the video because I guess if we talk about it, it removes the.
I suppose that fun of people watching, but a couple of interesting interactions that came up. PP had just released their latest errata about formations and the effects on formations, and we actually had a couple of times where we checked command to make sure an effect could take place, and I think there was just the one time where there was a model out of command, wasn't there?
And yeah, so which meant Tough dropped. So
Tough was on the.
That's not a problem, is it? You just marked anyway.
Oh, it's well annoyed me though. It was literally like a hair's width from being out.
I eyeballed it.
Yeah, we had a little likes, but people that do watch the video, like,
I eyeballed it before we had to measure it carefully.
Like people that do watch the video, like me and Brett, give each other, like you start trolling me, and like we are joking. Anybody that watches it, I don't want people to watch it and be like, oh my god, they're being so rude to each other. Like we play each other like 2-3 times a week. We were messing about because there's a bit of banter in there. I don't know how much you'll include because before it, we were messing around like pretending to podcast and stuff. I don't know how much will be included. I think it might be heavily edited.
I watched it and it was like a long before the game. You two like disappeared for about 5 minutes and then came back.
I was like saying hi to you. I was like, hi mum, hi Matt.
Was it up already, is it?
No, it's not.
Well, it was streamed.
Watch it live.
It was on live, yeah. I text Matt like, we're on telly.
Yeah, you are, yeah.
We're on telly.
Anything to get a flail shirt.
Get a wooden spoon and you'll be in.
Can have mine if you want.
Whatever
you want, special occasion.
No, I think there's probably
you're right. Your shoulders aren't big enough.
There's probably a couple of things in that game though. I think are a demonstration as well of sort of good gaming etiquette. And the two obvious ones that spring to mind would be both related to the feats actually, and. When Harbinger feated, so obviously I'm going to be taking a power 14 if I move closer during my activation to Harbinger. And so I don't know how other people do it, and I'm not saying that this is the best or most effective way of doing it, but I was nominating a model and saying I'm going to move this model and then dropping a proxy base into the position I was going to move him to, so that then if Paul wanted to check whether that had moved closer or not, we'd got a point of reference from the original place. And I know when you've played people, you've got annoyed when people...
Well, winds me up. People just, like, move the model. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
I don't just wind you up.
It's so annoying. Yeah, again, no, that was good. It's just good.
Just makes the game really clean, doesn't it? Because then you've got a very precise measurement point from, well, look, my original model's still where it is. Here's where it's moving to. Would you like to check? And at the point you say, no, that's fine, I'll just move the model. Yeah. Or at the point you check, we've got that clear reference point. So I was sort of, I suppose, helping you out, but just playing.
Oh, there was a moment you didn't help me out though. That was quite funny. So basically, we'd set up and everything. I'd got all my stuff out, and I can't remember who like I moved all my stuff.
You were going first.
Yeah, you chose sides. I was going first. I didn't realise. I thought he was going first. So I was just like chatting to Jimmy.
I started the clock.
He started the clock and he didn't even tell me.
I said, are you ready, Paul?
And I went, yeah, mate, go for it. And then I'm chatting to Ginny. He starts the clock. And I'm there like, yeah, so how's it going, Jimmy? What you been up to? Yeah, so look, and I was playing, so that it was in a firestorm. They had all the like Space Marine garbage and what. So I was flying. What's the big gunship called?
A big gunship.
Thunder. I was flying. I'm going meow, like being stupid, flying out of the room. And I was like, why is the timer ticking? And it was like, you're going first. And that's like a minute and a half. Like a minute and a half, I'd be going with this gunship, prancing around in this room. And I was like, oh. Oh, cheers for that, Brett. Yeah, he was just sat there like, grinning at me. So you ass.
That confident, eh? That confident that you're just going to pratter around.
The other thing I've been doing, though, was that I was busy rearranging my advanced deployment models. I was just like moving. I was picking up models and moving them, but just moving them around outside of my deployment.
So my peripheral vision, I think, is setting up. Oh, he's having a right laugh with that, isn't he? I'm sat there burning my time. I'm glad it didn't come down to deadlock. I'd have been rampaging about that one. It's like a minute and a half. Yeah, so ignore that bit if you watch the replay, and ignore the bit where I fail to shoot a gallows. Forget that I can see a gallows grove with like 10 nis around it. But anyway,
And then the other helpful thing was just on Kruger's feet turn, the fact that you were moving your models and measuring the three.
I was moving
models.
On fire, wasn't I?
Yeah, and just, you know, I mean, there's little thing. I mean, we always do each other's AOEs and scatters and stuff like that, and so.
Oh man, you know, I had people like this. That really irritates me. Like I genuinely think I make an effort to help with the AOE deviations. If someone activates a model, I think, oh, that's got an AOE. Let me get a scatter template ready. Let me help you out with this. Like, I honestly think I do a good job of that. So many, because I play Fuhrer a lot. So many times I'm playing Fuhrer and the opponent is just unhelpful in that process. That really frustrates me. You know, when I'm sort of got the 14 and then I'm trying to move it and I'm leaning across the table and I'm just thinking, come on, like, just give me a hand. It's better for you because it's accurate. But I think some people think, well, this will burn your time a bit better.
Yeah. Like they're trying death clock you.
The other one that annoys me as well, actually, I'll try not to rampage here. And like, my maths isn't great, so people might think, oh, you do this, but I try not to. Is when someone rolls and they're not helping you sometimes with the calculator. You know, like you sort of sat there marking damage and you know the death of your model because it's on the card and they roll and then they're sort of just looking at you. You think, come on, do me a favour. I'm like, not very good at maths here. You've got the numbers in front of you, help me out.
There's your rampage.
I'm joking. That's just a joke.
Rampage section.
That's just a joke.
Need Liam sat next to you with all the numbers.
Carol, yeah. With his number board.
Does the video catch you counting on your fingers? Because you do that on a regular basis.
That's what I wear.
No, I don't count on my fingers. I just tap them on the table.
That's why I wear sandals and no socks.
I always wear socks.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, you've got that weird foot thing going.
Yeah. Anyway, back to our game.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of, I think, really nice examples of just, well, like I said, good gaming etiquette in terms of the players helping each other out on the game. And I think Jimmy seemed quite complimentary, didn't he?
Yeah, we're nice.
About the game, just saying that, you know, it was nice to watch. He enjoyed watching the game, you know, and the game was played in the right spirit. Because I think he also had some less entertaining games to watch, didn't he, I think, as well. So yeah, we would encourage you to watch the game.
Yeah, check it out and let us know what you think. Don't start like whinging about little things though. Like if we cheat a little bit, then you know.
It's all part of the culture.
Don't look into it too much. No, it's pretty tight. There was no dodgy rules.
Well, I think we were both satisfied that the other player was playing a tight game. So if there is something obvious that's been missed, then it's been missed. We've certainly not had a rant about it.
No.
Any other point? And you won that game in the end scenario, wasn't it?
Well, don't ruin it for the listeners. Yeah, 5-0.
It was good if you watched it on the stream because it was so jumpy. I was watching it 1 minute and it was 0-0. And then it was 1-0. And I was like, right, I'll have to reboot the video. Oh, it's 3-0.
Okay. Reboot it again. 5-0.
It's like Brett's moved some stuff over here. 5-0.
Okay. It was a good one to watch because that really epitomises my hobby list, and that is it forces a scenario so hard. And when I say my hobby list, I mean, it's not, I'm not saying I invented that, you know, I'm not
the hobby list.
It's very common, it's a very common list, or different variations of that list. But what I love about the list, it forces a scenario that hard that it often puts your opponent in a position where they have to lob stuff at an objective, and you either clear that objective and win, or you overcommit and lose and not clear. Do you know what I mean? It's like often I've got Harvey charging, Cataclysm in, you know, just to clear an objective and win 5-0.
Well, that's capturing the game, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, so that game is a really good example of how Harvey can force a scenario so hard, and how that list, like that, a lot of people look at that Harvey list and a little bit, you know, it's very light on the ground or whatever, but it, like, and it's got a lot of support in it, but late game everything works really hard in that list, like all the jacks and all the solos, like, really.
I think what's noticeable though as well is and this is where, because you and I have played in games involving Harbinger before, you know the cut off point for Martin Harbinger. Yeah. Whereas when I play Paul Mansfield, I push Paul past that cut off point in trying to clear a zone. He was just martyrdom, and I'm just looking going, okay, yeah, keep going, lovely. Nis combined range attack, dead Harbinger.
Yeah, you gotta.
You're martyrdom, right? That one's dying.
Pen goes away.
Yeah, yeah. At that point, no more martyrdom. You know, and so you're very sensitive to that cut off point of how far you can.
Because Harbinger gets a balance, like, yeah, definitely. Because she gets a lot of stick. You know, in terms of like, oh, easy mode, castle stuff. But, you know, I think if people that have that opinion, give her a try, you know, give her a... It's a bit like M'Vana in the whole re-roll thing, you know. You can push these casters so far, and then it just gets to the point of, you know, you can end up killing yourself. And Hayley, I think, is the same as well in some respects. You know, really powerful caster, but you've got to be quite skilled to put her in some... You know, when she's spent all her focus, we know how focus heavy she is. She's got a feat where she can sort of live the dream, but after that, she's quite difficult to load up and get all the spells out and not die to a gust of wind.
You definitely have to time it well.
Yeah, it gets a bit painful. Yes, yeah, so that was a good game. Check it out. People should check it out and let us know what you think. But a good event.
Excellent event. Enjoyed it a lot. We would encourage, I'm sure, everyone to try and get a place there next year.
And I'm not going to get locked in again, I don't think, ever at a tournament, so that's good news, isn't it?
You want to go double or quits at the Expo?
What? Not get locked in? No. Yeah. Well, no, because the Expo... No, because the Expo is like a ridiculous format, isn't it? Oh, so I can see myself getting locked in there.
So you don't want to go double or quits?
No, because I'm just going to go all out to qualify for top 8. Set whatever I need to, and then in second day I'll worry about it then.
So day one, are you just taking one list down?
Well, I'll just see what happens.
Take your Harbinger list down.
Yeah. So what you're saying is I need to meta against Harbinger.
Pretty much.
Be all right.
I might not take Harby.
Yeah. Right, so then, should we just move on to our final section?
Yeah,
I'm going to
whinge about something else that I saw at the Welsh, which so there's a common theme with Rampages, and that is mainly morons and people that play like moronic casters. So there's another trend has emerged now. So we've had M'Vana, we've whinged about her, we've had Butcher, we've had Terminus, but now the latest Muppet list is what we're calling a Meat Mountain, which is essentially like double warder troll spam, right? So this has become... And in fact, I look to you, Gav, because it's not just trolls either that are playing this garbage. Yeah. It's Xerxes as well. Yeah. So the meta, and Welsh was a good example of this, he's getting spammed with a Terminus... That, like, Terminus has bred. Terminus has had sex with Butcher, and they've made troll meatless. That's what's happened. And people are adopting the same moronic playstyles and strategies as Terminus and Butcher, and just running meat at you, running double. So a couple of things that this goes with is Gristle goes quite well with Gristle,
both
right?
Both Gristles.
And Gristle's one Gristle two's got an amb buff.
Her feet presents unyielding.
Yeah, okay.
So essentially
and they've got their battle driven and the stones. So they go up to armor 21. And then 23 if they're engaged.
Correct.
So that's obviously, you know, 8 boxes, and I'm sure this is going up. But it's that simple. It's that muppetry that is probably going on like a worldwide pandemic that we need to do something about. And my issue with it's not doing anything. So I played Toby Jennings. That's right. I played Toby's second game. And, like, he's a great guy. I had a really good laugh with him. Really, really good sport. Good guy to play. But he was just running and charging. Like, it was just running stuff at me. There's no thought. There's no synergy. Well, there is synergy. Sorry, they have to pop the AOE bubble. But once that's done, once you've thought, oh, hang on, let me just do my synergy.
Choose one to feet.
I'll just do it now. I'll just pop my stone. Oh, okay, yeah, well done. I'll run or I'll charge.
I think your Rampager is a smokescreen for a Rampager against casters in hospital ground. That's all it is.
This is another problem.
Yeah,
that's really what we're talking about. Isn't it? That spell's a joke. I hate on hospitable ground.
What faction do you play again?
I don't know. I don't struggle with.
I've got lots of Pathfinder.
So you need to drop Pyroclaimer that you lose with and take.
What do you mean that I lose with? Oh,
Yeah, take Adraza. Right. Find it, don't you?
Just take, take Flamebringers.
Because then Synergy works against the Meat Mountain. So does the Pathfinder.
Yeah, it worked really well, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds all right.
It worked really well, that, yeah. I'll definitely do that at the Expo. I'll definitely take Amon-Ra.
So anybody, if the lists are released early, the matches, we need to...
Yeah, definitely build up to play.
I would laugh if they released the matchup process. You've got trolls, and so you're going to spend a week preceding the Expo building Amon-Ra lists.
I don't think it's a massive issue for Menoth, but it does frustrate me when you've got these moronic play styles that are like going down. It does make me a little bit sad inside. And the other thing, like a dual thing that I've found, I was ranting about this at the Welsh. That Assyria Tear. Who wrote that? Kaelisa, the Kaelisa Tear, not Assyria. The is that the one I'm on about? Kaelisa.
Yeah.
The one that we can't run on charge first turn.
Who wrote that? So they've got these different tier benefits, yeah? And I read it, and it can't run our charge. I was like, that's stupid. That's literally the most stupid tier benefit I've ever seen in my life. Like, I'm offended by
it. Have you not seen the latest P. Denny theme force?
Epic Denny.
Oh, is this the one that puts you
in the P. Denny where you start with upkeep?
No, it's Epic Denny, yeah.
That does exist, though.
Someone said about the weekend as a P. Denny tier that allows you to put all your upkeep spells.
It's Epic Denny.
Sorry, Epic Denny. On all your upkeep spells.
Yeah, you start the game. Upkeep,
yeah, on your units.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, real clever, yeah.
There's an emo. That does that as well.
Yeah, Nemo's a joke, though, isn't he? We don't know what he does.
Because we see Kaelisa all the time, don't we? She's everywhere.
No, but
smashing tournaments right and centre.
But that's crippling. The tier 3 and 4 benefit or whatever got changed and everyone was kicking off. I was worried about the first one. Can't run our charge on the first turn.
Why is that a problem for you?
What do you mean?
Speed 5 and 4 jacks.
I'm like the slowest army ever. Can't run off charge.
You've got advanced deployment units, that's fine. They get to the
errands are going to go 5 inches.
Yeah.
How is that not bent? Like, how are people not kicking off about that?
Well, you can run your jacks turn two.
Turn two.
What's wrong with that?
Look, they've got like whipping girls, haven't they?
Whipping girls.
Indiana.
I don't know what you're about.
Indiana girl. Indiana Jones.
They've got
assassin.
Yeah. Chest out like that. That model that won round.
That came across really well on the podcast.
Oh yeah, sorry, I put my chest out. They're I'm not being funny, but Retribution can play pretty aggressive and pretty central.
Well, if only you had a Judicare or something that could just scatter AoEs in their general direction.
No, but Brett, right, on the 14, I can't get any further. It's ridiculous. It's an obscene tier benefit. It's mental. That is a crazy tier benefit that needs to be rethought.
No.
How is it not good? How is that not amazing?
Well, it is good, but it's not amazing.
It's good, isn't it? It's good.
It's absolutely incredible. Like,
what faction's it on?
Retribution.
Well, there you go then.
Yeah.
So it's not incredible. Come on. It's got Retribution stuff behind it.
Is it not good?
It's good.
Why are you moaning about that when you've got Epic Veil that gets a point cheaper Warbeast, plus 2 speed to the flight Warbeast?
Well, I mean...
And all she has to take is Warbeast.
Well, it's the P-Vale's tier that I don't like.
That's a proper... That's a proper
nasty... See first turn.
Can't see anything.
Second ever game I had in War Machine, you took that.
Yeah, the worst I've ever been beaten is played against that. Worst game ever.
Well,
but again, how often do you see that?
Yeah, no, you don't see it very often. It's quite cool. I quite like that, though, because it's a bit themey. But, you know, like, oh, it's snowing. Yeah, or Vale's here, she's brought the clouds. Yeah, that's nice.
Whereas Kaelisa would have no reason to bring all them battle badges.
So what's the idea on Kaelisa's thing? So, you know, the one thing that I'm big on is the fluff, yeah? One thing that's really important to me is understanding the fluff. Like, I don't like things to not make sense. You know how important that is to me, right? So I get... don't look at me like that.
Jesus.
No, really? It's really important to me. So P. Vale, right, it's snowy. She's the winter ice queen or whatever. You know, she likes living in the snow. She likes snow globes. First turn tier benefit, can't see. Yeah, thematically, I really enjoy that. You can take that one. Kaelisa, can't run or charge first turn. Would she put, like, traffic cones in front of your army? Like, what's the theme there?
But isn't that her feet anyway?
Does she work on the roads?
Her feet is you can't charge.
Feet you can't charge.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, that's really good. Yeah, that's good. What's? But I don't get the thing. Like why can't Miami run on charge? There's no.
It's because of all the battle majors with their force barrier.
Doing what?
Just like. Pushing it right out all the way to your deployment zone.
Yeah. Well, that's the long range. Their range ain't that long.
Well, that's like Sabine. She's coerced them. She's been like cajoling them for weeks and months and enhancing their ability. The same way that Vale's been collecting them snow clouds to just bring.
Yeah,
them
no, back I like up. That. But I know, but what like it don't make any sense with Kaelisa, and I think that's a really broken ability. I think it's a real issue. It is a good job, Retta. Like no one takes them. Because
well, they will now.
Like you know Rhett pretty well, Brett. Can you still build a good list out of that tier, or is it like Chuckle Brother tier?
I mean, it changes the dynamic of Kaelisa and what she does. I mean, she's a very well-rounded caster. I'm not saying the first unit you'd reach for when playing her is Battle Mages, though.
Mm.
You know, there's better units and models to take other than Battle Mages, but in enforcing you to take Battle Mages and the fact that you can't run or charge first turn.
This is a great scenario.
It becomes list. A really strong scenario.
Really good scenario list.
I can't help thinking that thematically it would have been better with Ron at the head of that army. You know, the same theme and tier and restrictions. But I just don't know whether they thought, Christ, we can't give Ron that ability. Because otherwise that would be bonkers. Because he's got telekinesis.
It'd be too much.
Yeah, you know, he's got the force hammer as well. Boosted magic attack rolls.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. So what we're saying is the Kaelisa tier is really rubbish. No one needs to take it. It's really, you know, it's not going to do anything to me.
I think it will be very strong in terms of scenario.
But people should still not take it and take around his tier. That's a good message.
Again, it's still only...
So first round, and you're playing against a Rhett. The player needs to take this list.
No, well, I'd have an issue with that.
Because I just think it's stupid. As soon as they take that, then Raven.
Yeah.
Since all these casters currently die to Strikeforce.
Which
is a bit of an issue.
I think that's ridiculous, not running or charging. Like, in terms of... So, there's so many scenarios that just shafts you on bad. Real, really, really bad. It's absolutely brilliant. Like, how many first turns involve running? Pretty much every first turn involves running, especially a back line.
Yeah.
To lose that with a slow out, that's really powerful. Really powerful.
These meat mountains you're talking about, they'll suffer from it.
They'll suffer really well. Gristle will get them shifting a bit, won't it, with their feet. Pea gristle. You know, that mitigates a bit, but still, if they're feeting just to get where they normally would, you know, I won't be complaining as a rep player. So I think both those things are ridiculous. I think the mistakes...
it only affects certain things. Like it only really affects men.
Well, to know, I think there's a lot of stuff.
Haley would be fine.
But this is where I think the run second turn is still fine because all you need to do is contest a zone. There's not really any scenarios now where you can get so far ahead that you can win the game on two turns in terms of scoring. And even if you've just got an advance followed by a run the following turn, in Menoth, you've got things like Enliven. So the fact that I can just send an Enliven Jack to toe the zone that can then drop out once it takes damage, etc. I've still got an advanced deploy unit. I've still got Zealots that when they run, will get into a zone and be immune to everything. So it just means you don't get into position for a turn extra.
It means all my amazing broken stuff I have to waste just because of this stupid tier 1 benefit rather than later on in the game where it's going to be important.
Oh, I really feel for you.
And what are we going to do about these meat mountain people?
I think it's
cool. Well, you started raging about retribution, which is obviously a clear problem in the...
Well, that's it. That's just that tier 1 thing. I just think it's stupid.
It's nice to see people using the medium bases, isn't it? Because they've been really uncommon up until now.
It's nice to see people using medium bases.
Wheelie bin boys.
Ash had a nice list he showed me that he was going to drop against Arby. Basically, P Butcher with wheelie bins. Just a full army wheelie bin. Literally, he just had wheelie bins everywhere. He had about 300 wounds or something. He thought we were hilarious. Literally, a full army wheelie bins.
He's doing it wrong. You need to stick it with Pierisk for in hospital ground and then really get your goal.
Yeah.
And that would just upset me looking at it. So I have to put it away. Yeah.
So what are you doing to answer this armour problem?
I think it's all right for Menoth, really.
All right, so good rampage, Paul. Well done.
Well done.
I think you're rampaging on everyone else's behalf.
Yeah, no, I'm just all about the power to the people, aren't I? You know, I'm thinking about all the people out there that don't have as good a factions as me.
Matt, what's your answer?
I've been thinking about a siege tier, the new tier.
No, yeah, you've been playing
tier
that,
4. Using all the journeymen and having multiple charge jacks. So under his feet, kind of deals with the meat mountain. Been thinking about it for Xerxes. Need to try it out a bit more.
What list do you have? I mean, we played it. You've been playing it all day
yeah,
today,
so
haven't you?
I've got one with Alison Jakes with two hunters on her, because then she's got four focuses. She can give two each, so they can go off and start picking things off. And then I've got three journeymen in it, and there's a charger each on one of the, on each of them, and then the triumph on siege, and then I've got
then
the
gunmages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Laugh that.
And then I've got Alan Strangeways and. Unit of mechanics, because you need them for the tier as well, so you can kind of keep things alive and get Arcane Shield out, keep things going. You can foxhole to keep the defence nice and high, so when they try shooting you, Xerxes particularly with his blast and scatters, you don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, because the power 12 charger hand cannons, the boost, the triple the double boost,
siege with Arcane Shield on him and sat on a couple of focus each turn is armour 23 is not worried about someone trying to put fire on him. Just going to shrug it off.
You guys are playing that game next week, aren't you?
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes.
So it goes.
I'll probably end up playing it at the expo, probably, if someone drops it.
Yeah. See how it goes.
I think Legion Answer is a combination of things. P-Veil, because of insight, just to get the damage buffs. Epic Thagrosh for Manifest Destiny. Will be more than capable of cracking the armour, and has still probably got the speed to get the Alpha Strike as well. And the same as is the same with P-Veil, and P-Veil will get two turns of doing it as well, won't she? So, you know, an Angel or a Scythian going in, Typhon going in, even if it's just sprays, will start causing some havoc, and the ability to drop back out again is pretty strong, I think. So I think Legion have got answers to it, but those answers are perhaps not the typical casters you've seen Legion players playing of recent times. So if they perceive it's going to be a problem, then I think there might be a slight shift in the orientation of Legion lists in a three-list environment. Scorn's answer? Bronze.
No. If in doubt, Zal it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Zal all the way.
There's nothing Zal can't kill.
There's not.
Oh, he just takes Xerxes himself.
Yeah, would he not
just
take Xerxes himself? Because that feed would just annihilate.
What a game that'd be.
I don't think so.
Xerxes v Xerxes. Kill me now.
That would be
terrible. Kill me now.
So, trolls on Scorn. I don't think Xerxes versus Grizzle's going to go well.
Four.
Why?
Scorn.
Why? You get the fire out. And his feet when you get him to the charge.
Yeah, but
pretty devastating.
He's got the stones, isn't he? So the fire goes away.
Make him immune.
Yeah, true.
It's not
lots of weapon masters.
Yeah, it's not going to be good.
So it's just all then.
Yeah, it's all
the usual answer.
Easy play.
Well, I suspect that is a cast. I will say thank you for listening. I've been Brett.
I've been undercover.
I've been out. That sounds really wrong.
Okay.
I've come out. I've bought. No, I've been Paul.
I've been Matt.
We'll catch you next time.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.